Radio Prague News.
The Czech Prime Minister has said police reform should not be a political issue or cause for the government coalition to collapse. One of the policemen at the centre of the crisis says he will reconsider his resignation, and a new nuclear energy coordinator has been appointed. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said Wednesday that his Social Democrat Party maintains its position that the reorganisation of the police force is a matter for the police and experts, with the police president and Minister of Interior taking the lead. Sobotka said he refused to have the police made into a political issue and rejected what he described as pressure from the ANO party to threaten the collapse of the government coalition over the police shake-up. ANO leader Andrej Babiš has threatened to walk out of the coalition if the police reorganisation, including the merger of key anti-corruption and anti-mafia units, proceeds without a real debate about it. Christian Democrat leader Pavel Bielobradek earlier described the situation as grave and said ANO party leader Babiš made clear his intention to walk out of the coalition if the Interior Minister signs a proposed reform plan. Mr. Bielobradek appealed to the Social Democrats to reconsider pushing the changes through by force, saying that he tended to agree with Mr. Babiš that a reform of the police force requires consensus within the ruling coalition. One of the central figures in the police reorganisation that has sparked a coalition crisis, the head of the Special Police Force for Combating Organised Crime, Robert Schlachter, has said he's willing to reconsider his decision to resign following the postponement of the police shake-up for a month. A meeting of the State Security Council on Tuesday evening agreed to delay the implementation of the reform until the start of August. Schlachter complained earlier that he'd been barely consulted about the reform, which would see his unit merged with a similar unit tasked with combating corruption. He announced his resignation at the end of last week. The Czech government has appointed its nuclear energy coordinator, whose main task over the next 4 years will be to oversee and coordinate moves aimed at constructing at least two new nuclear reactors in the country. The man appointed for the four-year term is Jan Stuller, who until now headed the Nuclear Safety Department at the State Office for Nuclear Safety and previously worked for the International Energy Authority. The country's nuclear energy development plan calls for at least one reactor to be built at Dukovany by 2037 to take over from ageing reactors currently operating at the site. The creditors' committee of mining company OKD met on Wednesday to discuss the situation surrounding the biggest hard coal mining company in the country. The Czech state has a presence on the committee through its insurance company. A health insurer and the transport company Advance World Transport are also present. OKD filed for insolvency in May with debts of around 17 billion crowns. Company managers said it's breaking even on current operations and coal prices have climbed in recent weeks. And finally, Prague City Hall has rubber-stamped an agreement for the massive 20-painting series by Czech artist Alfons Mucha, the Slav epic, to go on show in China. The agreement over the loan and conditions calls for payment of 2.7 million crowns by Chinese authorities. The paintings are also due to be exhibited in Japan as part of the Asian tour. The tour has been condemned by the grandson of the famous painter, John Mucha, who warns that they risk being damaged on such a tour and away from their usual protected environment. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
Listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the ruling coalition is racked by a crisis over a proposed reform of the police force, and a Czech university pioneers a chemical warfare detection device. Later on in Marketplace, Chris Johnson will report on the latest health check of the Czech banking sector. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. The ongoing government crisis over the proposed reorganisation of the police has shown no signs of abating, and the future of the cabinet now hangs in the balance. The head of ANO, Finance Minister Andrej Babiš, has warned that if the controversial changes to the force get the go-ahead, the party will leave the government. The Social Democrats, led by Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, counter that there is no reason for the cabinet to collapse. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Until now, the government of Bohuslav Sobotka has had to weather little internal division and very few scandals, but the deepening crisis over the planned reorganization of the country's police force, including its highly respected unit for combating organized crime, has all the makings of a perfect political storm. ANO leader Andrei Babiš warned that if the reforms are approved, his party will withdraw from the coalition, as the coalition agreement stipulating that major changes needed to be consulted at the government level had not been respected. By contrast, the Prime Minister slammed ANO for, in his view, trying to put pressure on the Interior Minister and Police President, saying the planned changes were fully within their competencies. More and more, it appears to be a situation of a standoff in which it is uncertain who will blink first. And even Deputy Prime Minister Pavel Bilobaradek admitted after a meeting of the three coalition leaders on Wednesday morning that the situation was serious.
The ANO leader warned that if the reorganization plans are approved, that he would not just consider, but would withdraw from the coalition agreement. To that, the Prime Minister replied that the decision would have to be in writing.
The planned changes have been questioned by many, not least the head of the organized crime unit, Robert Schlachta, who resigned in protest, but has since said he might return. Others taking exception to the proposal, at least as outlined so far, are chief state prosecutors, the supreme state prosecutor, and the justice minister. The right-wing opposition, which has no love for Mr. Babiš, meanwhile charged that the leader had deliberately escalated the crisis ahead of elections next year. The leader of the right-of-center Civic Democrats, Petr Fiala, said this.
ANO is acting absolutely irresponsibly, and the end result will cast doubts on the work of the police, which is something we cannot allow.
Commenting on the developments, political analyst Aleš Balcar suggested on Czech TV that the situation had grown increasingly muddy or unclear.
At this moment, I think that anything can happen. Everything we've heard over the last few days suggests high emotions. The ministers could sign or ANO could leave. It's a question, in my opinion, of how much some of them have painted themselves into a corner.
Political analyst Aleš Balcar ending that report by Jan Wellinger on the ongoing crisis in the government. Moving on now, scientists from the University of Chemistry and Technology in Prague are developing affordable equipment to help army and police rapidly and reliably detect explosives and chemicals that could be used in combat or other incidents. The NATO-supported project was launched 2 years ago, and the result, a sensor which should be part of a uniform which will be available to troops from all NATO countries. Ruth Frankova has the story.
While highly sophisticated detection equipment already exists for chemical warfare agents and explosives, it is often very expensive and can only be used by specialized units and by trained experts. For the past 2 years, the University of Chemistry and Technology in Prague, in cooperation with the Yerevan State University in Armenia and the University of Defense in Vyshkov, Moravia, has been working to develop sensors for devices that will be accessible and affordable for police, firefighters and other first response units. The head of the research team, Professor Martin Vrnjata from the University of Chemistry and Technology's Department of Physics and Measurements, outlines the advantages of the detector.
Our detectors are intended as small, modular, replaceable parts which can be connected to some basic device. Its dimensions are comparable with that of a cellular phone, so this is a portable device. Another advantage is in small price, because conventional devices for detection of explosives, they cost tens of thousands of euro, and our devices will be hundreds of euro.
As Mr. Vrnjata explains, current gas sensors are often inefficient in detecting certain explosives. Therefore, the team focused on the detection of the non-explosive additives contained in the explosive rather than on the explosive itself.
The main problem connected with detection of explosives is that the explosives, such as, for example, trinitrotoluene, have small vapor pressure. so they produce extremely low concentration of gas species in the atmosphere. So it is difficult to detect them by gas sensors. But when the explosives are produced legally, they must contain the so-called detection tagants. These detection tagants are non-explosive substances which have higher vapor pressure, and hence they can be easily revealed by, for example, dogs or also by gas detectors.
While illegally manufactured explosives do not contain such tagants, they are often produced in an amateur manner, and as a result they usually contain significant amount of byproducts that can be detected by common gas detectors. Development and testing of explosives and chemical warfare agents detectors is quite a complicated procedure, since the University of Chemistry and Technology cannot directly handle warfare agents such as sarin or mustard gas. Sensors are first tested on so-called simulants that resemble them but don't present any hazard to humans. Sensors are then taken to the lab of the University of Defense in Vyškov, which has permission to work with real warfare agents. According to Mr. Vrnjata, the team has so far created 8 suitable types of sensors that could be used in real-life situations.
Ruth Frankova with that report. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature, Marketplace with Chris Johnston.
After the worries and shakiness of the last decade or so in Europe's banking and financial sector, financial stability is no longer seen as a given, but as something that has to be constantly safeguarded and, where necessary, regulated for. The Czech Republic came out largely unscathed from Europe's last financial crisis. No large banks were bailed out, and the biggest institutions are regarded as significant cash cows for their foreign owners. But the National Bank has identified risk areas where it would like to see tighter control to make sure that the conditions for crises do not develop. The presentation of the Czech National Bank's Financial Stability Report is one of those annual highlights which help pinpoint where the local economy is and what areas are perceived as risky by the central bank. And that's the case of the 2015-2016 report unveiled by outgoing bank governor Miroslav Singer on Tuesday. The overall tone of the report is both upbeat and cautious, and that's perhaps understandable. A booming economy last year, slowing down a bit this year, means many individuals and companies are keen to invest and, if necessary, take out loans. And in some cases, the central bank is worried that their appetite to borrow and invest might outpace their ability to repay, especially if conditions start to get a bit more difficult down the line. But let's start at the beginning and the Czech National Bank's overall assessment of financial stability in the country. Governor Miroslav Singer.
The sector as such is a bit more robust than last year. Not in any significant, the change is not dramatic, but it didn't have to be dramatic. And as to environment, it's a little bit risky, which essentially reflects more optimism of investors, their willingness, and households, their willingness to take on loans, especially with respect to real estate loans.
The biggest worry for the central bank is that a housing boom seems to be developing, fueled by record low interest rates. Czechs are seeking to profit from those low rates, anticipate further property price rises, and are piling into a market where the offer of new flats and houses, particularly in the biggest cities like Prague, is short. The clear concern is that many would-be house or flat buyers have been tempted to get in over their heads as regards loans, and that they will be the first to suffer if their conditions change, Church says, if they lose their job or if interest rates start to rise, which appears to be a near certainty given how low they are now. Miroslav Singer again.
The riskiness in this sector increases since I believe there is a healthy optimism. However, there are also very low interest rates that may mask for some households that servicing of their real estate loans may not be in future as easy as is now when they take on these loans.
The Czech National Bank has been closely following the Czech real estate market for signs of overheating. And it's also been surveying the loan practices of banks. Property prices are now back and sometimes beyond where they were back in 2008 at the peak of the previous boom. And while most of the banks have been following the central bank's guidelines on what sort of loans can be offered, some appear to have been a bit more lenient and open-handed. The governor again.
The sector broadly obeys our last year recommendation that aimed to make the real estate loans less risky. However, there are some institutions that have not done so, and with those we will be discussing why is it and why within the normal supervisory framework, so we can address it on individual basis with those.
Last year, the central bank issued banks guidelines saying that in no more than 10% of home loan cases should banks be offering loans covering 90 to 100% of the value of the property. But it appears that while the guidelines have been generally kept, there have been exceptions and they have been flouted. And in cases where fairly high loan levels are covering 80 to 90% of the value of property, the risk profile of borrowers is far from reassuring. Many are on fairly low to average incomes. And there is also a trend for the repayment periods to be stretched out, sometimes now coming to more than 30 years, although the Czech repayment average is 24 years. In the face of these worries, the central bank has decided to act.
We are strengthening our recommendations and we will attempt to have a chance, to have an opportunity to make these recommendations into binding regulation for the sector.
The bank is now looking to gradually lower the maximum loan to property value limits. They should fall from the 100% now to 95% from October and decrease once again to 90% from April the 1st, 2017. And the banks themselves should change their 10% upper ceiling on all new loans with a loan-to-value ratio of 90 to 100% to 10% at 85 to 95% by October. That ceiling should then apply from April next year to loans with a loan-to-value rate down to 80 to 90% of property values. Both moves have the same target of curbing banks' willingness to offer high-risk loans. And while Governor Singer agrees that higher interest rates in the short term to mid-term might address the problem as well, he's not willing to take a risk and lay off the regulatory brake on high-risk loans.
We enjoy a robust, solid, liquid financial sector. I mean, we do not want to take the risks of having a different situation within a short term.
And the central bank is concerned that another part of the real estate market, this time the commercial real estate market, might be facing similar problems. This is basically the office space market, where buyers might be tempted by potential price rises to enter the market and then find they cannot find the tenants to cover charges, interest rates and loan repayments. Here, bank loans covering over 70% of the value of properties are being made in more than a third of Czech office space purchases. And the worries are exacerbated by the fact that in most cases, there are often no other assets which could be used to cover debts if things turn sour, and that office vacancy rates in many Czech cities remain stubbornly high. Miroslav Singer.
The easiness with which the loans could be obtained and especially finance with low interest rates is making part of especially office space-related loans relatively riskier with no big buffer on service of debt to income from these real estates ratio. Meaning, if the cost of servicing the debt increases mildly, those who take on these loans may find problems servicing them without increasing their rent. At this moment, the total share of these loans is not that risky. We just recommend to the banks to take proper care about the value of these loans, about the value of these real estates and loans ratio.
And the bank has also been looking cautiously at the so-called buy-to-rent phenomenon. With returns on other investments so low in recent years, that's a phenomenon that's taken off in some countries, such as Britain. In some cases, the social implications have been enormous, with whole swathes of lower-value flats and houses being bought up by the relatively wealthy. That means those on low incomes given little chance to own their own place and condemned to be perpetual property renters. But so far, the buy-to-rent market has not taken off in the Czech Republic, though the central bank is calling for banks to be vigilant and has loan guidance for this case as well.
It's not that significant so far. We recommend it to banks to properly identify those transactions and not to provide the loans to more than 60% of the value of such real estate units. But honestly, it's not, so far, it's not a significant segment of the market.
Governor of the Czech National Bank, Miroslav Singer, ending that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson. And I'm afraid it brings us to the end of today's programme from Prague. But before we go, a special announcement. On the occasion of its 80th birthday, Radio Prague is announcing a competition for listeners and website visitors. In order to take part, write and tell us what you think Radio Prague will be reporting on in 80 years' time. A jury made up of Radio Prague representatives will select the most original answer. The main prize is a four-day stay in Prague for two people at Savoy Hotel in the city centre. The cost of air tickets will be covered. 12 others will get runner-up prizes. So, if you want to take part, please send your entries to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12-120-99 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. Or, if you'd like, you can email your answer to cr@radio.cz. Your entries should reach us no later than July 15th of this year. The results of the competition will then be posted on Radio Prague's webpage on August 31st. And that's all from us for today. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.